This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Well, wonderfully, we have another update for you today on Lantern Rescue. And so we got TC and Charlie here with us. In a while, we're going to have Carp. And so, TC, you guys are fresh off the African Trail.
We are fresh off the African Trail. It's great to talk to you again, Robbie. And it's great to be here with Charlie. It's been a little less than 2 months ago. We were in Western Africa, and this time specifically Benin and some surrounding areas. And, you know, you and the listeners are familiar with the fact that we've been there before, and this is probably one of Lantern's oldest and maybe most consistent counter-trafficking or interdicting efforts that they have. So we always look forward to going over there, and I'm going to kind of turn Charlie loose on our mission when we were there. So, Charlie, what do you say about what we did there?
So we did a. I'll do the training piece there.
Sure.
So we started off with some of our agents and talked to them. We covered several different things, all the way from a de-escalation of violence. So talking to somebody and. In a non-threatening way, all the way up into if you have to go hands-on or detain somebody. So we did. It was neat to go into it and try to help them. So if they have to go hands-on with somebody, we're doing it safely. We can do this as a single person, as a single agent there, or in a team place. And so. With that, we kind of started off as, hey, you know, what's a common situation? What do you run into the most? And try to feel them out for us to be able to address the problems that happen the most frequently. So we want to kind of cover and help with whatever need they might have or what happens most and kind of advise on it.
And what need does happen the most, or what did they share with you? Are they usually running into?
So most of their stops there are foot traffic or on bikes, on motorcycles. And so a lot of that kind of crosses over. But it was neat to be able to say, okay, if the largest percent is on a motorcycle, how do you handle that? Right? If you have somebody you need to question or somebody who's non-compliant and they won't get off their bike, okay, what's the safest way to do that? Because you have to think you're also potentially have a victim or somebody innocent on there, and the last thing we want to do is we just want to handle a situation safely, right? So we want to be able to get them off and be able to question them and say, okay, everything's good here, or this needs a little further investigation. So we actually we had a nice little training ground where we did some I guess demounting a suspect off a bike. I'm not really sure there's a technical term for it, but we talked through, and then we went through different situations and applying the one-on-one techniques that we learned earlier in the day for a tandem or team having to remove somebody physically from a bike, talking them off a bike, or how to kind of quickly disable the bike so they can't just get squirrely and run through and possibly, you know, hit somebody. So it was very interesting. It was a lot of fun. There are a couple little a couple little tricks or scenarios to think through with it, because it is, you know, moving vehicle and stopping somebody while they're moving can be a little tricky, but it was, I think it was good training and it was a good bonding for us and the team on the ground there.
Wow, and I know I'm just personally curious, Charlie, where did you learn how to do that?
It's always a refining. There's a good way to do something and a better way to do something. So in talking to the team and experiencing a couple different countries and knowing some really, really talented people, I'm fortunate to be in the fold sometimes. I look at everybody else and kind of in awe of what the Lord will allow me to join in on. So leaning on the wisdom of others and a lot of experience in that situation from some other people, we kind of put together a pretty good plan for that and ran through a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah, that is really, really wonderful, because obviously there's, you know, that's something, if they're running into that all the time, right, TC?
They are running into that all the time. And when we get Carp on, we'll talk about some of the work. But absolutely, I would say that when we're on the border, they must see, they got to see nearly 100 motorcycles. I would say at least maybe 150 motorcycles a day. And they're so good at their work that they're constantly, you know, confronting and approaching, whether it's a taxi or a trafficker or a family, they're constantly doing the kind of work that Charlie and Carp are training them on.
And so, how
definitely needed and appreciated.
And so how long were you guys over there, Charlie?
Let's see, we were there for a week and some change. I'm not sure on the exact days. They, to be honest, they kind of bleed together when you're running. When you're checking out the work and doing training, we had... we had four different training days. TC, can you correct me if I'm wrong there. Was it a week and some change?
Yeah, we did 8 days plus the flying piece. And I know that our luggage got lost out the gate. So the first day we got about 2 or 3 hours sleep, and then we were training that day. So it was good times. But, you know,
that's always fun teaching. Robbie, that's a fun piece too, teaching handcuffing techniques to a group of people with not enough handcuffs. So we were able to overcome it and work with what we had there, but having some of the equipment and baggage delayed a few days is always a fun challenge to overcome.
Oh wow! So your handcuffs were in your bags.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
So one of the things that we did, and Carp will talk about the border stations, but on our second border, we were going to a place that required, you know, a good big hour and a half maybe travel, and so we're leaving Cotonou and traveling north, and we get picked off by the police. We get pulled over, and we're pretty sure we didn't do anything wrong. But we just happened to have a new driver that day. Our usual driver wasn't there. So this new driver was super nervous. And we actually were on the verge of getting our car towed with all of the trainers in and getting ready to go up to the border and work. So we got out of that somehow. And we're pretty sure how we got pulled over. I think Charlie was sitting in the front, and that probably got us pulled over. So we hit the road again. We're trying to make good time. And further north on the same road, we get pulled over again, and this time they make our driver get out. The police officer gets in and drives the four trainers to an impound lot. So we spent a good hour and a half to 2 hours at least trying to get ourselves unimpeded before we were finally turned loose to go up to the border and work. And again, I think we were stopped because Charlie was in the front seat. So that kind of stuff can be kind of the friction to the whole thing. You know, you're trying to do good work and try to do the right thing and honor God with the work. And, you know, sometimes Satan will have none of it, or at least he's going to do his best to make it an issue.
So why?
So that was,
why,
that
why?
Was one of the things that I would say corruption probably had a play in the in impeding the work that we were trying to accomplish.
So, yeah. So why would Charlie being in the front seat? I mean, they're just seeing.
He's white.
Right.
That's it.
And this can't be good. So yeah.
You know, it's a money thing, and so it's assumed that in this particular case we would have had money and that we would have paid our way out of that situation, which we didn't do. And in this particular case, it cost us a good big chunk of the day. We were fairly frustrated. I mean, we finally got our Sunday school game on and talked ourselves out of it. But initially, we were less than satisfied with our circumstances.
Wow. I guess that's what happens when you're back in there. And obviously, Satan is alive and well. Well, we got Carp on the line now, so. What was the part that you wanted to?
Why don't we let so Carp? Why don't you give the listeners just a brief piece of your bio, and then why don't you hit the training maybe in Igolo and Ilara?
Okay. Well, I was a cop here in the States for 20 years, and recently retired from that, and spent 18 of those years on a SWAT team, and just did some stuff through that, and then was involved with another ministry called Tactica Ministries, where they go to Central and South America training police officers, and the gospel is a big part of that training with that ministry, and it's a really really solid group of Christian guys. So got into that, and when I retired, I was just really out of thankfulness, just kind of offered myself up, to the Lord wherever He wanted to send me, and then. Met my cohorts here through Tactica Ministries, and then started going on some trips with them. So my part in this trip was kind of the same thing, training these guys along with what you've already been told. And then we went to these other two border stations to help them with some work and just kind of see what they were doing and how things were run up there.
Okay, well, I hate to chime in, but I'm going to. We got to go to a break. And, of course, when we get back, we got some more stories and updates on what Lantern Rescue is doing in Africa. So we'll be right back. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Well, welcome back to Lantern Rescue, and we just love to hear what God's doing around the world. And today we are fresh out of Africa, and so we got TC, and we've had Charlie on, and now we got Carp, and so Carp, you guys were doing some training in some different areas.
We did. We kind of had some guys, back at our headquarters there to do the stuff that Charlie's already talked about, and then we went to a couple of the more remote border stations. That took some hauling to get there. People, if they're unaccustomed to that, I mean, you're talking about dirt roads and poor conditions and all that stuff, and so it took a while to get where we were going. One of the more remote border stations, I mean, we saw that corruption piece kind of rear its ugly head again, where we had a high-ranking official kind of circle the wagons of these some of these guys that are running motorcycle taxis, and he circled a bunch of them up and said, you know, did a formal introduction of the counter human trafficking unit and said, today these guys will be here. So if you're coming across the border with anybody, they're going to stop you. You know, and kind of couched it in that, hey, I'm tooting my horn about what we're doing. But obviously that was a tip-off for those guys, and word travels fast. They all have, you know, WhatsApp groups and stuff just like we do. So I'm sure word traveled fast. And we kind of saw the results of that where everything was – we saw a lot of traffic coming across the border, and after that conversation was had, it dried up for a little bit. So that was very, very frustrating. And then you kind of see just the same things on those outskirts of the borders where they're stopping and making people, you know, pay an unofficial toll to go across, and sometimes taking the things that they have for whatever reason. And so just very, very frustrating. But those guys that are working the border on the counter human trafficking side, they're doing a stellar job of talking, you know, stopping people and talking to them, and they're not afraid to get in the mix and do that. So that was very, very encouraging.
Yeah, and so what was your part of the training piece there?
I was assistant Charlie with just some hands-on stuff. Obviously, these guys don't have a lot of, you know, all the cool gadgetry that American police have. You know, there's no a lot of the intermediate weapons that we think of. These guys don't have. It's just hands-on. They're unaccustomed to things like a baton. Or even how to do basic, you know, handcuffing, if they even have handcuffs, and how to transport prisoners and all that sort of thing. So just kind of helping them out with the hands-on piece about how to work with a partner. You know, it's one thing to try and control somebody on your own, but it's another thing when you're trying to control somebody with a partner and making sure you guys are working together and to accomplish the same goal. So, again, just kind of a support function to help those guys, you know, police their own and work their own country. And they do have a love for that and a desire for that.
Yeah, that's great that you know, what God has provided in those countries, and just an amazing team that really have a passion, you know, for what they're doing, and that God's
opened
the door.
Yeah, it's encouraging to see those guys, you know what I mean, where you see at every level the gospel is and I don't know if TC touched on this already, but at every level the gospel is capable of solving the problem, you know, corrupt cops, trafficking, the traffickers, the victims, the people that are buying the people being trafficked. I mean, at every level the gospel just has such an impact to stop that stuff.
And so did you actually get a chance to see that kind of going forth in what you guys were witnessing with these guys?
We did. I mean, and while we're doing the training, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, we talk to them about their calling, even in that law enforcement aspect. When you look at Romans 13:1, you know, the powers that be are ordained of God, and talk about, you know, the calling that they have of God. And if God has called you to do a particular job and has given you authority and placed you in a position of authority, that makes you accountable then. And so what kind of man or what kind of officer should you be if the God of all creation has called you to that? You know, that puts a big burden on people to make sure they do what they do. And so on the corruption side, when you see that level of corruption, those guys, again, it's a different king, different kingdom. They're acting according to the kingdom that they're in, and the only way to combat that effectively, I think, is through the gospel.
Oh, that's amazing and beautiful. Wonderful stuff. So, TC, I guess you're seeing the same thing, right?
Yeah, and so in this particular instance, we were at a station called Igolo, and it was probably an hour and a half north. Tarp and I are actually, so they split the team in two. Charlie and another were where this corrupt guy was, and Tarp and I were on the other side as the border kind of winds around, you know, the police station there. And so on our side, again, many stops. We even had a little guy who wasn't much bigger than a 2-liter water bottle. We had him for a while, kind of cleaned him up and gave him some water and waited for his folks to get themselves squared away. But, you know, the team that we work with are so good at their jobs, and they know exactly what they're supposed to do. And basically, they're almost like, Robbie, they're almost like privatized law enforcement. They're actually in a position where the police have empowered them as civilians to make arrests and stops and transports. And so like Carp said, you know, they are all over it. They are, believe me, they are so dedicated to the task. Like, they are maniacal almost. They really just never stop, you know. So I would say out of the 52 52 weeks of the year that they could operate, they operate 52 weeks. I don't think they take many days off. So.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for those of you who may have missed previous episodes, some of these folks have actually lost family members to trafficking. And so, you know, God's given them a particular burden, right, for what they're doing, right, TC?
Yes, sir. And I would say, you know, just to close out, I know we're running low on time. I had three different, very, very different types of stops that they've made just in the last week, just in 1 week's time. Now, the one's pretty heavy, maybe for radio, so I will forego it, and you can advise. But one of the ones is almost exactly a week ago, they caught a woman who had four different kids from four different places, and she had abducted these kids, one girl, three boys, and I would say they were all 15 or under, at the most 15, and she was taking them across the border to do hawking. If you understand what that is, in a lot of these countries, you'll see kids on the side of the road with all kinds of things for sale, from iPhone cords to sunglasses to bread, whatever. And they will stand out all day, back and forth through the traffic, hawking their wares, and all of that money, all of the money they make goes to a trafficker. So she had abducted all four of these kids to go and do that for God knows how long. You know, that labor trafficking is, I think it's at least 40% of all African human trafficking, labor trafficking. So that would be one form of that. And the other one, Robbie, I don't know. I guess if you want me, I can put it out. And if you need to, I don't know, edit it, you can edit it. Do you want to go with that?
Yeah, we actually have like five more minutes, so.
Okay. All right. So this one is, I will try to say it in the most benign terms, but this particular case is the worst possible kind of case. So 2 days ago, the team there that we had trained arrested with the police. They arrested a rapist. Okay. And the reason that he was arrested was because the community had gotten a hold of the police and our partners because his victim died as a result of his actions. Okay? She was 12.
No.
Yeah. So she literally died as a direct result of his continued actions. And so our team was a part of that arrest and transport and taking him back to the authorities where he is going to stand trial, and they're actually seeking the death penalty already. The mother of the victim was there, taken to the police station, and she was unable to pull herself together to be able to create a coherent testimony, at least with the initial try. And so I know that's super rough to hear. However, I guess I don't want anybody to think, you know, so often the team is able to interdict these victims in that they, like with the lady, you know, they were able to stop those kids from ever being actually enslaved, right? You know, the trafficking piece is just the conduit between being coerced and being enslaved. And so many times this team is able to do counter trafficking, but sometimes they are actually trying to get people out of slavery. In this particular case, you know, the training, the safety part of the training that Carp and that Charlie and our other teammate, you know, was able to give them produced a direct result of this guy going to jail.
Wow.
And so we don't want to lose sight of the fact of how horrible this stuff is, nor do we as a team want to lose sight of the fact that what we do matters. You know, and your listeners, as they support Lantern, are a part of justice, you know, many, many thousands of miles away. So, we've talked about that before, Robbie, and I can't overemphasize the fact that it takes all of us to fight a problem this big.
Yeah, I heard Mark actually speak at a church recently, and he talked about prayer. And specifically, he said, you know, does Satan tremble when you pray? Especially if you're praying for places like Africa, where actually I know he was going to Washington, D.C. to help, you know, fight the child sacrificing practices that are going over. You know, that's part of what you guys are doing as you protect these borders. But as we pray for you guys, that we literally can pray that governments will engage in what God gave them the right to do, which protect their citizens and become those people like, you know, you guys were talking about in the book of Romans, that you know, that's what the governments would be and claim those things for the kingdom. And so as you pray and support Lantern financially, it's amazing what God is doing around the world, TC. You get to see it in so many beautiful ways, right?
Amen. And I would say this, I would add one more prayer burden to the folks listening. Carp and I have seen this so many places. I don't know how many countries we've been to, Carp, probably three or four at least, but in every one of them, corruption is a serious problem. Everyone. And I would just ask for the prayer that the gospel, and as we go as God's, you know, ambassadors, that the light just as much as possible beats back that corruption piece.
Wow, that's powerful. Absolutely. And again, we're so grateful for all of you who have supported Lantern. And we've got a special push going on right now as the Lord has blessed us with all sorts of matching gifts. And so, you know, you can kind of double what it is that you can do for the kingdom right now by giving to Lantern. And we want to make sure to, you know, send you to lantern.org to get hooked up with both ways to pray, or if the Lord puts you on your heart to support him in some other way. Of course, you could, all their contact information is there at lantern.org. Wow, thank you so much, Carp. Thank you so much, TC. What a amazing thing God is doing out there with you guys.
Thanks, Robbie. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, bro.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Yeah, Godspeed. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.